coverage show, podcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm your host, Keith Cork, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and friend here, Mr. Trey Hill, just to talk a little Bulls with you guys for a little bit. You know, you get to do this maybe once a week at best, Trey, at this point. Work schedules and everything kind of don't align too well, but still, I'm always looking forward to just chatting Bulls with you, man. I hope you you feel the same way.
Oh, I mean, honestly, I prefer this to the recording right after the games. Just because after the games, it's always so raw. It's really hard to get a big picture. Like last night after that huge Portland win, at, you know, the big comeback, it would have been great to have that reflection on it. But it would have been all positive, no negative.
Right. Yeah, it was a good game. I mean, you know, obviously that's still kind of fresh in our minds, so we can definitely start there. And, you know, for once, the Bulls actually played better in the second half than they did in the first half, which I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that has to be a pretty rare thing this season. And do you get that same feeling?
Yeah, I was glad they were able to take advantage. Portland played last night, so it was the second night of a back-to-back, and right. Chicago just didn't let up. But yeah, it seems like this season, Chicago has faded in the second half of games, whereas this one, they got up, you know, they were up pretty consistently the first quarter, and then Portland put them down by a lot, and it was really nice to see the team chip away and fight back, because Portland put in the effort to try and put the game away, and Chicago just didn't let it happen.
Yeah, I think they were down 11 at the half, I believe, or 12, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, they were down 11. It was 70 to 59.
Yeah, and 70 points, you give up 70 points in the first half. I mean, we've seen the Bulls, you know, fold kind of in the past in that situation, and I know people threw this around on Twitter a lot, you know, on Bulls Twitter, is, you know, just showing some resolve, showing some fight, which, you know, I think there's, it's kind of, I mean, I think every team has that. It's not like it's something that, it's not like a skill necessarily in my mind, in my opinion. It's just kind of you play the game and however it plays out, that's just kind of what people throw their own narratives on top of that. So I don't know how much stock I put into that, but man, you were talking about Zach LaVine, and he was incredible. Last night for sure, you know, looked more like that max player guy that we were looking for. And, you know, it's been rough for Zach. I mean, he said it himself. He started the season, you know, when they asked him about the All-Star game, he started the season hurt, still working his way back kind of. I mean, but at this point, he's pretty much all systems go over the last, you know, 2 weeks or so, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, the last game since the really disappointing loss to Charlotte. The last four games, Zach's averaging 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 4.8 assists, but he's shooting 46% from three. And it's really been the catch-and-shoot threes I've noticed from him. He's really been able to get in a good rhythm, I felt like. And I'm glad to see his game evolving that way, where he is utilizing that three-point shot to open up, because you're right, he does seem like his knee is back, but he's and this is just comes with age and injury. He's 85% the athlete he used to be, so when he has that space in the lane where he's used to being able to go in and dunk, I feel like he's drawing a lot of contact, but he's getting better at that. And I think we saw that last night in the second half against Portland. Zach got to the line a few possessions in a row when the Bulls really needed some points.
Yeah. And speaking of just guys that are incredible and fun to watch, Damian Lillard is always a joy to watch. He had a really good game against the Bulls. The Bulls were out without Alex Caruso, of course, so kind of had free run on the Bulls guards, but couldn't do much to stop him, but we still pulled out the win. So, you know, that was a good win for the Bulls. But yeah, going back to Zach LaVine, I mean, I think the biggest, you know, I think I've said this the last few podcasts, but the biggest change for me is not just the three-point shooting, which I think, you know, the volume was increased with three-point shooting, which I think the Bulls realized that had to happen. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers now. It's been kind of up and down, actually. I see some, you know, games where he only has four or five attempts, and there's some games where he has, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13. Overall, on average, 7.5 three-point attempts per game over the last 12 games or so. So, you know, I think you could even up that a little bit. I think his three-point shooting is really, really important to this team. But the thing that really sticks out to me, Trey, is like you said, his ability to attack the rim and his willingness to take contact, even with that, you know, slightly injured body. Even with, you know, his struggles earlier in the season to finish at the rim, he's doing a lot better at that now. You know, now when he goes to the rim, I don't like cringe and go, oh my gosh, this is going to be a terrible layup attempt. I think I'm pretty confident he's going to make a play that's going to be a high percentage shot. So good call on that one.
Yeah, I think I give Zach a lot of, I just give him a lot of crap, I guess is the word for it, for falling asleep on defense and things like that. But one of the things that they preach is get in the lane, get to the line when your shot's not falling. And Zach's been, you know, he had that injured finger, and I think he even admitted that it was affecting his shot a little bit. And just being able to turn that on, it's been nice to see his legs be healthy enough to be able to compensate for that. So I think he's trending in the right direction. You mentioned, though, that you don't put a lot of stock into the resolve thing. For me, that's a big thing, and I think that's my biggest problem with Chicago. Mm. Like, you saw that game against Charlotte. They come out, and they just don't look like they're putting in the effort. And, I mean, really, other than – and I hate to call out the stars, but for me, it's almost always Zach and DeMar, because that when their shots aren't falling on the offensive end – they put the it just seems like they consistently put the other guys in bad positions on the defensive end.
Yeah, I feel you. And, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to resolve, I think it's more about the verbiage to me. You know, it's not like, the team itself is not an entity. Like, a company's not an entity. A basketball team is not an entity, you know, in a certain way, right? Like of course, they are a combined group of people, and that is an entity. But they're not like, it doesn't have feelings, right? So that's kind of where I stand on it. But I think there is something to be said about playing for each other, something to be said about camaraderie and all that good stuff. But you know, there's nothing that really suggests to me that would have changed for the Bulls. You know, there's not like someone got traded or anything like that. It's not like we traded away a cancer in the locker room or something like that. So
we had Billy Donovan bench Zach for basically being bad on defense, and then
the trip to France. That's right,
and then Dragic said something about it also before the trip to France, and then they had the trip to France. But I mean, it's also getting to the point in the season where, as much as we love Zach and he's the franchise guy, when Billy Donovan took him out of the game and Zach immediately said something about it in the press, that took Billy's ability to hold this team responsible on the defensive end, that just took that away. And so I think it's just taken – it took Dragic confronting him in the locker room, and it's taken this losing to kind of almost force him to see, hey, we have to win on the defensive end. You have to be engaged on this end, because if you're not, you're putting all of us in a bind, and then that we just watch the defense break over and over. But these last 10 games – the Bulls have been a top 10 team in defense, according to Kirk Goldsberry. So when they're engaged, they can be a top 10 defense.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
The defense has been nice. I think some of that has to do with the opponents we've been facing, though. We did have the Pacers, Hornets, Magic, you know, Hornets again, and then the Blazers didn't have a great game against us. They scored a lot of points, but then the Clippers aren't necessarily a great offensive team, I should say, on a regular basis. So I think some of that's a little bit of variance in just who we're playing in terms of defense. But I do like the effort I'm seeing on the defensive end. I'm not, like, totally out on the Bulls' defense. I think they do have a decent defense. And obviously Caruso playing at a high level through most of these games as well. You know, we'll talk about the trade deadline and how we feel about all that kind of stuff in a minute here. But I think him playing big minutes here for the Bulls has been very helpful on the defensive end for sure. So, just kind of large scale view. The Bulls have won three of their last four games, which is nice. they've won the games you would expect them to win. They won against the Magic, Hornets, Blazers. They lost against Clippers, which, you know, that was a disappointing loss. It definitely felt like the Bulls could have won that game, Trey. We can talk a little bit more about that. But still, I'm not, like, super upset that they lost that game, because the Clippers are a very good team. I think they're still a team that could play for a championship if they get, you know, maybe one more piece here. So I'm not, like, super upset about that. But then, you know, had the games before where, you know, you had two losses to the Hornets and Pacers back-to-back right before this, you know, three of the last four thing. So it's been an inconsistent, you know, season for the Bulls. They've just been so up and down. And I still think, and you know, maybe this transitions us into talking about the deadline, but I do think that that stabilizing force of a point guard, and, you know, I wish we had Lonzo Ball. I really do. But I think you and I both agree we just have to play it this season. Like, he's not going to play at all. He's not going to step foot on the floor, right?
I mean, given the reports that are out now, I'm doubting we see him next season.
Right. Yeah, it's not.
I saw the thing that said that there were six doctors who still couldn't figure out why he has pain. Like, at this point, he's just a sunk cost to me, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. And like you said, that really affects how this team plays, because we love Io, but you see the difference whenever Goran comes in and the playmaking difference between the two. So to have someone who is that high level of a playmaker that you can play more minutes, that would be a huge boost for this team, because I think it was Stacey King the other night said he thought the Bulls might be the worst passing team in the league. Just overall, as just because they struggle to get the ball on the inbounds, they struggle.
Yeah, that's true.
The entry passes into the post, they struggle to make all the passes. So to get someone in that can just come in and play a little more than that backup point guard role, or even start, that would be a huge win for this team.
Yeah, and you know, I think also, you know, you're mentioning that, and just I think just in general at this point we're, 40, 50 games into the season, you know, so we've seen plenty of this team. I think one of the things that makes me really uncomfortable towards the end of the games is it's just ball security in those tight situations where, you know, I need somebody to not just necessarily go get a basket, which DeMar or Zach can absolutely do, obviously, but, you know, hey, I need somebody to actually control the basketball for 10 to 12 seconds and then go find somebody to go get a basket. Like they're missing that first guy there to, you know, basically dribble the ball around or make the right pass. It's just been a
right. We need someone to get DeMar the ball on the block, right, isolated
where he's comfortable
with 12 seconds left on the shot clock.
Right.
Or when they run to double DeMar, they run to double Zach, someone who can make themselves available, get the ball and take advantage of that situation, because as good as DeMar and Zach have become at playmaking, they're still not quick decision makers on that front. So when someone gets doubled, they come and get the ball. They get the ball. They take a moment to assess. And by then, that defense has had a chance to rotate back, and our advantage is gone from breaking the double team. Whereas Lonzo, he was so great. Caruso does a pretty good job at this whenever he's really on. He's a great connector. Io's getting better, but it's just, you know, he's still young. If we could find someone, and I don't even know who that target would be, but that would be, I think, the one piece I would look for if I was the Bulls. Because we saw Andre Drummond come back last night motivated. If we could get him that motivated the rest of the season, I think our backup bigs are taken care of with Andre Drummond and Derek Jones Jr.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't mind keeping those guys. But, yeah, let me get your thoughts on Andre Drummond. Obviously, he's been, you know, in and out of the rotation the last couple of weeks and been getting some DNPs even. And so it's been kind of rough for him, and, you know, he's kind of been in the media. And, you know, one thing that we'll say, though, on this, and I didn't really know this about Andre Drummond before he came playing for our team, but he's a professional. He is, you know, a good teammate. Definitely seems like a really good dude. So I'm glad to be rooting for him, obviously. But you know, it's been a struggle for him because, you know, he does feel like he's got that talent. You know, this guy's used to be a walking double-double back in Detroit. And, you know, how much of that was real, how much of that was inflated, you know, stats, I don't know. But either way, I still think he does have that skill that we need, you know, in specific situations where we need a big body out there to grab boards. He's just an absolute monster on the boards. I love to see that. So what are your feelings on him now? I mean, do you feel like he's expendable at this point, or do you feel like, you know, the Bulls have to keep him?
I feel like the Bulls have to keep him unless they're bringing back another legit big that can play behind Vucevic, because I love small ball. We know, everyone who listens to this show knows how much I love small ball. I love Derek Jones Jr. at the five, but there are a lot of centers where you have to have legitimate backup centers. And we both lived through those Tony Bradley minutes. Do you want to relive that? No. Because I do not. No, thank you. And I know I'm the ultimate optimist, but I don't think Marko Simanovic is going to be the guy replacing Andre Drummond's minutes in the big rotation. No. So I hated to see him get benched for as long as it was, but it seemed to have done the job in motivating him and lighting a fire. If he can play that hard, that motivated, especially on the defensive end, like he did last night, then it's going to be hard for him to not get minutes.
Yeah. And he had 15 and 10, 15 points, 10 rebounds in 15 minutes in a couple of games ago. And that was the first time since like 1979 that had happened. So just incredible sometimes what that can get do in very limited minutes. So I feel like he ideally that's his role as a backup center. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say before we leave Andre Drummond, random piece of trivia someone told me the other day. The active leader in steals for players 30 or under is Andre Drummond.
Yeah, that's incredible. Because you would not expect that. But he does have pretty active hands.
He's got good hands for a center. And if you have good hands and you're playing against guys who can't handle the ball, you know, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I buy it. I mean, it's true, so I have to buy it. But it's interesting. Okay, let's move on, though. Let's talk about the deadline. Obviously, everyone wants to hear our thoughts on that one at this point. You know, I know we would both have been talking to Stephen Bagel on his podcast and stuff like that. And we've both been part of his deadline, you know, exercise where we ran teams and stuff like that. So we've been thinking about this thing for maybe about a month now, and I'm sure we've had our thought process change here. Most recent rumors are that the Bulls are basically just looking to add a guard, and that's basically what they're going to do at the deadline. I mean, does that surprise you? Let me go ahead and start there.
Not at all. I, especially given the ups and downs, the highs with this team are so good. I can see the front office saying, all we have to do is put this together and find that playmaking piece that we lost with Lonzo. And we have this puzzle finally complete. So to me, no, I think again, the puzzle's just too close to completion for this front office to to just break it apart and start over.
Mm-hmm. But you know, when you say that, and I agree, like, let me say that first. I think, you know, this doesn't surprise me at all. I think, you know, a part of me does agree with them, and I get that. But like, at the same time, like, so we're saying the puzzle's complete, but like, what is that puzzle? What's the picture in that puzzle, right? What's the end goal here? And I really, in my heart of hearts, can't at this point say, you know, we're thinking championship. Like, I think we're looking at maybe a second round exit or something like that as a ceiling, right? I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree 100% with that, with this team that we've got right now. For me, it's about making sure this team looks attractive when other players might come up in trades and free agency. Because if you can do that, Chicago is a big enough market that you can attract players if you have an organization that they want to play for. That wasn't the case for the Bulls before AK and Eversley took over. But you see what's happening in Brooklyn right now. Kevin Durant said a lot of very nice things about Chicago over the years. You know, this time next year, maybe Durant's looking at getting out of there. And Patrick Williams continues to develop because I think he's become an excellent defensive player. And, you know, if he can continue to shoot 40% from three, him, Io, a bunch of draft picks, if we can get that one converted, there will be options for Chicago. So for me, the ceiling of this team is just kind of maximizing its potential as showcasing itself as a first-class organization now.
Yeah, I like that. And I think there is some, you know, value there that people kind of overlook. You know, it's kind of like that 2K mentality where I need to get a dunk or a three-pointer. And that's, you know, everyone lost the mid-range game at some point. And that's kind of a mid-range game type viewpoint where it's like, you know, hey, we're positioning ourselves to maybe add another piece here. And you mentioned Kevin Durant. And, you know, obviously we got to talk about Kyrie Irving requesting a
trade. Trey Young, Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not saying necessarily I would want those guys, but like, there are so many guys who can become available that might want to come to Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe Giannis.
Or the Bulls could even just trade. Right. Or the Bulls could even just trade for and feel confident that they're going to stick around. Whereas that wouldn't have been the case 10 years ago.
What surprised me, though, I was just looking at actually odds before we jumped down here. There's odds on DraftKings about, you know, who's going to get traded at the deadline. Kevin Durant's a minus 250 to be traded at the deadline, which is just That seems insane to me. By the deadline, so that's in 4 days here. And I don't know if the Brooklyn Nets can get all their ducks in a row to pull off a Kyrie and KD trade, but that would be incredible. But yeah, I've been like dreaming about KD at Chicago for a long time now. I know he's up there in age, but I don't care. I mean, he's Kevin Durant. He's Kevin freaking Durant. And if you have a chance to get him, you go get him. I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind.
Yep, 100%. But that's what I'm looking for with this team. And like, so the next few games, you've got the Spurs, Grizzlies, Nets, Cavs, Magic, Pacers, Bucks, Nets to finish out February. Or no, that's just till February 24th. That's just where the cutoff is on Basketball Reference. But there are a lot of winnable games in that schedule, especially if Kyrie and Kevin Durant aren't playing February 9th here in 4 days.
Yeah.
So to me, if this team can continue to build, continue to grow, everyone's talking bad about Vucevic. I think Vucevic has been a fine starting center. He's shown a willingness to sign a contract that decreases in value mm-hmm. in the past. So in theory, I don't see why he wouldn't be willing to do that again. So his contract could be very cap friendly going forward as it's getting ready to spike. Yeah. I think he's going to be around. I want to see this team make the playoffs. That's my big goal for this year now. If they can come together after the way this year started, make the playoffs, and you know, maybe win a game in the first round, I will be happy with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that at the beginning of the year, but at the beginning of the year, I would have also said we were going to get Lonzo back at some point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was much higher in the Bulls, obviously. What was it, about maybe 3 or 4 weeks before the season started when we got that Lonzo news? Maybe even 2 weeks. It might have even been closer when that Lonzo news kind of dropped and it was like, oh, he's going to need surgery again. And we were just kind of like, oh my gosh, seriously. But yeah, obviously, you know, if you put Lonzo in the mix here, it's a much different story. I think the Bulls are up there in the mix of the, you know, if they have put Lonzo on this team, I mean, you know, I'm looking at the standings right now. You've got, you know, obviously the Celtics, Bucks, and the Sixers. I don't think that changes. I think those are the top three teams, even if the Bulls had Lonzo. I mean, I mean, maybe they sneak in there. I don't know. That's a ceiling type situation. But, you know, then you've got the Nets, Cavaliers, and Heat after that right now that are in the top six, you know, spots. And you add Lonzo to the Bulls. I think they're a better team than those three, honestly. And, you know, maybe you can make an argument the Nets are better if they're healthy, which I wouldn't, you know, again, it's Kevin Durant, so I wouldn't argue against you for that. But yeah, they're right in the mix of that stuff. And even now, I mean, you know, they're 11.5 games out of first, but if you look at the Heat, they're 8.5 games. They're only 3 games back from that sixth spot right now. So they're still in the mix, even without Lonzo.
Yeah, they haven't been as disappointing as Bulls fans, us included, have been with them. It's just we got such high expectations after the team at full health was, you know, they were in first in the East in January. And, at, you know, the downfall from that, seeing this team, and it's just another case of we have a team that looks like it could be. This team wasn't the contending level of those Derrick Rose teams. It was a fringe contender at best. But we finally got back up to that contending mountain and we just have to watch it wash away with it. You know, a point guard injury. It's just it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Heat fans are pretty upset with their team. Like, I don't really see them. I mean, I think they could be active at the deadline. I don't really see them. I mean, they could finish in the sixth spot. That wouldn't really surprise me. They've still got Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, but I can see them slipping. You got the Knicks in the seventh spot, which, you know, they've got to be disappointed after adding Brunson to that mix. You know, I'm sure they were hoping to be at least in that 4, 5, 6 spot as well. And so at this point in the season, they got to be a little disappointed. And then the Hawks are right above the Bulls right now. We're only a game behind them, and they've been real rough this season, especially to start the season. They're starting to turn it around right now, but you know, a lot of disappointment in the East here. I think we're going to get an active trade deadline. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Are you getting that same feeling?
I don't know. I think the Jazz are going to – there's going to be a flurry for the Jazz, but with the lottery odds being flat in the way they are, I think if the Bulls lost like 2 more games and they were in Washington's spot, they would have a 30% chance to keep their pick this year. And with the talent being what it is at the top of this draft, I think a lot of teams I think the Jazz will sell, but I mean the other teams with the play-in, I think a lot of teams think they can compete because like you said, it has been so disappointing of a year. That middle is so squishy, you think, oh, I can get in. Maybe I can contend in the first round.
I really like that they added that play in because it does make things super competitive. It's like, even if you're sitting at 10, 11, 12, you still have a chance to get in there. And if you're waiting on an injured guy to come back, you still say to yourself, well, maybe I can win that play in, you know, those play in games and then get to a playoff series. And then who knows, you know,
A great addition. I've loved it. The next thing I want them to do is to let the number one seed pick who they're playing from the bottom four seeds.
That would be nice.
Don't let them pick the 2, 3, or 4 seed, but you let them pick 5, 6, them pick one of the bottom seeds.
Yeah. And I think that makes even more sense now too, because, you know, again, if you're sitting at 11th, maybe it's the Nets sitting at 11th and they're waiting for Kevin Durant to come back from an injury. And now you're the first place, you know, Boston Celtics, and all of a sudden you end up having to play Kevin Durant in the first round. That's not fair. You know, that's not fair to you.
Right. You would much prefer to play like the New York Knicks.
Right. Right.
Or, you know, whoever else happened to slip in. Or looking in the West, you know, Golden State could very easily, they're in the play-in right now. Is it really fair for the number one seed to be like, okay, here, you get to play this healthy Steph Curry. Have fun.
No, I don't think so. But you mentioned Vooch, though, and, you know, Vooch has had an incredible season. I think, there, you know, by any measure, it's been really, really a good season for him. He's looking more like his Orlando self. And, you know, I think a big part of that is the Bulls. You mentioned the Bulls having issues at the point guard position and getting people to their spots. The Bulls have been a lot better at that for Vooch this entire season, you know, getting him in the motions that he likes to be in to score. He does that, you know, turn around and flip his over his shoulder type thing, almost like a hook shot, but it's more like a push shot almost. And I think the Bulls have been really, really good at getting him the basketball like that. So I at this point, I don't mind if he stays. I think if the Bulls do trade him, though, I think it wouldn't like crush me. Like, if they get a decent return for him and some good pieces back, some good young pieces back, that wouldn't crush me as long as they get a center back that's like starter worthy. I don't think Andre Drummond's starter worthy.
Would you trade him for Naz Reid? Because I would.
Yeah, I would.
And Minnesota wants, they don't want to pay Naz Reid, Rudy and Kat. Mm. So he's on the block. I would. And he's only like 23, 24. I would love for Naz Reid to be the starter on the Chicago Bulls.
That would be cool.
He's the one guy who really comes to mind for me. I don't think I would for Thomas Bryant on the Lakers. He's the other kind of guy who's not going to be able to be re-signed by the team more than likely because of the contract situation. So,
well, the Lakers do want a center, or they want center. He would be a nice addition to the Lakers, honestly. I mean, would you do it for like a Thomas Bryant and a first? Unprotected first.
I mean, if it's one, yeah. If I can get one of those picks for Vooch, I would do it immediately.
Right. Yeah, I could see that happening. And, you know, Thomas Bryant, I'm not super into Thomas Bryant. I think he's okay. Like, he's not fantastic. I think he's probably ultimately almost like Jakob Poeltl, like borderline starter, but probably ideally a backup, like a very good backup. So I'm not like super into Thomas Bryant, but if you get that first, I think that changes it for me for sure.
Right, and for me, we've mentioned the lack of playmaking. Stacey King, I love shouting him out because he knows what he's talking about. He talks about playing through Vooch constantly. And when they play through Vooch, it's because of Vooch's playmaking. That having someone who can playmake is huge for the development of Patrick Williams, huge for the development of Io. Like, I saw a play, it was in the middle of the third quarter last night. And, it didn't end up mattering. The Bulls were going on a run. But DeMar had the ball on the left block, just backing his guy down. And Io cut, you know, straight to the basket. And DeMar just missed him for a wide open dunk. And it looked like he even looked at him, but he just couldn't quite process it quick enough before the defense could recover. Whereas Vooch, if he's in that position, I have confidence he's making that type of play because he's just so good at playmaking from his spot. And I really like having him around because if we don't have him, how are Io and how are Patrick? Like, I think he creates a lot for those guys.
Yeah.
Kobe White, too.
Yeah, he's a very talented basketball player. I know, like, I still got a friend that's, like, in my ear, like, oh, he's worse than Carlos Boozer. I'm like, I don't think you know basketball, man. Like, it's not, I respect you in some ways, but yeah, just let this one die. Go ahead. Don't die on that hill, please.
You clearly have an agenda, sir, and I appreciate your ability to stand your ground.
Yeah, he has some kind of personal hatred. And, like, most of his basketball takes are fine, but, like, this one is just like, you know, dude, like, just let it rest. Like, give it up. He's obviously got a personal vendetta against Nikola Vucevic. Maybe get a bet on him sometime or something. I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, so I think, you know, I think I can see the Bulls going that way. Last thing before we head out here, you know, if the Bulls are looking to add a guard, I mean, you know, one thing I proposed just kind of like off the top of my head, because I was talking to a friend about the Bulls situation, was, you know, I could see the Bulls doing something like, you know, trading Andre Drummond for Corey Joseph or something like that. And I know we said, you know, Andre Drummond seems like a piece that we don't want to move. So probably not him, but, you know, something along those lines. Like, do you see the Bulls making a big splash and getting like a borderline, you know, the one guy that sticks out to me is Mike Conley. I mean, if the Bulls could get Mike Conley, would you like that?
I mean, if we just had to give up,
right,
what would it be, like, depends a 29 first? Like, at that point,
I think
he's just too old to give up a first for, and that's what they're asking for. So, no, and for me, again, response. I would wait it out, and I would see maybe what you can get with the exceptions in free agency, because if you're just looking for a guy who can play make, you can target that. Whereas everyone's looking for wing sizes, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. So if you maybe zag while everyone else is zigging, you should be able to find that playmaking role. And that's why we brought AK in, because he has the ability to find that talent that the other people haven't found. He's shown that ability. And for me, I can't even think of a guard that I would want to bring in, because I like our guard rotation so much. Like, I know we need more playmaking, but I don't want Io playing less. I don't want Caruso playing less. I don't want Zach playing less. If Javonte ever comes back, I don't want him not playing.
Right.
For me, I'd almost want to see them go out. I said Naz Reid, Jared Vanderbilt from the Jazz. I think they said he's available for a first round pick. And I think he would be a really good backup five. Or you know, he could even play the four. I love the way he plays. He's an energy guy through and through. He can do everything but shoot the three. And on a team that, again, I complain a lot about how they fall asleep on defense, Jared Vanderbilt, as a backline defender, he can cover up a lot more mistakes than Vooch can.
See, that's it's funny that you mentioned that, because Jared Vanderbilt, you know, same team, same asking price, supposedly, first round pick. And he's 23 years old, so this something there is just not connecting for me. It doesn't make sense.
Well, they have Kessler is the problem. And Kessler, they want to play Kessler 30-plus minutes, and they don't want to play two non-shooting bigs together.
Yeah.
So Vanderbilt's getting ready to come up. So if they can get a first for him, they're like, great, I get something for this asset. That's why they're moving him. I don't think they expected Kessler to be this good, and that's why they insisted – that's why they got Vanderbilt in the trade from the Timberwolves. But – I don't think him being available says anything about his talent. I think that just says how good Kessler has been.
Yeah, and Kessler has been incredible, by the way. So you know, congrats to those Jazz fans and everyone that was on his hype wagon, because it is taking off. But yeah, I mean, I would think, you know, when someone posited that to me with the Mike Conley situation on Twitter, and I said the same thing. I said, you know, the asking price last I heard was a first round pick, and they would have to come down off. I'm not giving a first round pick for Mike Conley. You know, maybe a couple seconds and maybe a young guy. The one guy I'm worried about on the Bulls that might get moved ahead of the deadline here is Dejan Terry. And he, you know, he struggled to break the rotation so far. But I could see them, you know, because if we're talking about bringing back a piece, and, you know, obviously you can trade a first for Jared Vanderbilt or something like that. But like, if you need to, you know, match salaries or something like that, or you know, you're trying to get somebody that's more of a splashy ad, I feel like Dejan Terry is the one piece that you can throw in that you're just not utilizing right now if your goal is to win now. So you did a double take, so you don't have the same worries that the Bulls are going to move Dejan Terry.
I really thought you were going to say Coby White is what it was.
I don't know.
He's an unrestricted free agent.
Right. And then, I mean, that'd be nice if they could, but that's the problem, is that there's no guarantee. There's no, you know, contract that extends beyond this season. So, you know, you're gonna have to renegotiate the contract, and then that contract isn't necessarily as enticing at that point. So,
right. Or be willing to match whatever he can go out and find. But I don't see Dalen Terry having any value around the league. So for me, I can't see them moving their first round pick just as a salary filler. Like for me, it'd be Tony Bradley at $2 million or even Javonte Green. I could see them moving Javonte before Dalen Terry as salary filler just because he's about the same. He's $1.8 million, but he's 29 years old. And as much as I love Javonte, if you're looking for salary filler, you're more likely to do that, I think, than to include your first round pick.
Yeah.
But I think Coby White is the guy who might be out the door because they're worried about extending him. They're worried about going into the tax. You mentioned the Sports Ethos thing. I ended up trading Coby White in it for Obi Toppin from the Knicks.
Which I don't mind. Cheaper. I like that. Yeah.
He's under the he's under his rookie contract an extra year. So to me, that's something that I could see maybe happening. But I think he's played really well. I think he brings it on the defensive end all of the time. Even whenever he gets scored on, it's not because he's not trying. It's not because he missed a rotation. It's because he just got beat because he's smaller and he's not, you know, he doesn't have the talent. Right. But he's always in the right spot. So for me, unless they can find something like that kind of deal, I would hate to see them trade Coby White for a bag of chips.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's raised his value enough at this point that you know, there's some value around the league for Coby White for sure. So I think there's no risk of that happening. And his salary is what, like $9 million or something like that, I think, last I looked. So
7.4.
Okay, that's a little less than I thought it was, but still that you know gets you up to the point where you're getting guys that are real difference makers. So yeah, you might be right about that. So. But hey, that's going to do it for us, man. I think that's it. That's really all we had to cover here. And next time we talk, Trey, could be a different roster. So we'll have to see how that turns out. But we'll be covering it for you guys here. So until next time, though, guys, I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Finally.
And yeah, go follow the show, guys, at Ethos Bulls. We are going to try to keep doing this out weekly for you guys. It's just kind of whenever our schedules match up. So we will try to get these shows out to your ears, just our thoughts on the Bulls. And if you have any comments about what we talked here, definitely drop us a line on Twitter. We do monitor that. So anyways, until next time, go Bulls.